have been talking over this month about what the journey that we're on looks like, what the point of the journey is, and also how to keep each other safe on that journey. We've talked about the principles of the kingdom, which are about relationship. They're about restoring relationship, mending relationships, or they're about starting new relationships, or they're about enhancing and encouraging new relationships. The treasure that it says that you should store up in heaven is your relationships. Nothing else is going with you, people. Unfortunately, this body, as beautiful as it is, will not be going with me. And Corinthians says that this body is like a seed. And once it's dead and put in the ground, the immortal, the glorious body that is raised, you can't even imagine what it would look like. I can't imagine how good I'm going to look in heaven. I mean, if I look this good now, how good am I? I'm wearing my kind of organic shirt, because we can't imagine how good. Some of us are going to go up putting so much work. I mean, Nick, you put so much work into your body. You're going to be going, God, I don't want another one, but I'm sure there will be whey powder in heaven, you know? So, but our relationships are what's going to get us there. And this world is not equipped to relate properly to one another. And so the damage in us damages other people. My output becomes your input, and it does you no good. You react to the negative output, and it just cascades around the place. You know, there's a big domino competition, and it happens in, I think, Norway or Sweden. And they set up millions of dominoes. And one time when they set them all up, a sparrow came in, and it knocked down about 20,000 dominoes. Unfortunately, they then brought in a hawk that killed the sparrow, it was a hunter who killed the sparrow. And the sparrow is now stuffed in a museum on a set of dominoes, you know, and people come all around. But that's what happens. My bad reaction dominoes to your bad reaction, dominoes to your bad reaction. You know, I get up grumpy in the morning and the whole day cascades from there. So we need to give people mercy, we need to give them grace, we need to give them their dignity by letting them off, giving them a break. And we talked about some rules or some guidelines for relating during the week. So now we're talking about the journey we're on. And today it's about pilgrimage. The United Service is going to be about pilgrimage, and I thought, well, let's make the whole day about pilgrimage. So turn to Hebrews 11, which is a massive chapter on faith. It's a favorite, I know, of many of you. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. This is the King James Version. I'm going a bit old school today, so because it's good, and it also includes the word pilgrims. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. If you've got a news sheet, you'll see that I wrote something on the back of the news sheet about this. That word pilgrim, the Greek is parapodimis or podomis, or it means sojourner. It means, first of all, that people knew they were on a journey. They knew they were on a journey from where they were, a foreigner in this land. So when Lawrence brings the word about we're a royal priesthood, we're peculiar, look at the person next to you and say, you're a bit peculiar. What that means is, you are not of this world. You are a foreigner. You are a stranger. When you chose to accept the calling of God on your life, became a member of a different nation, nationality, kingdom. You are now ambassadors and members of a different place. You belong in heaven. And you are only here on earth as a stranger traveling through on a pilgrim. But it then goes on to say, and uses that word, that though you're a stranger, this isn't just a dash straight through. I'm not anything to do with you, you lot. I'm on my way to heaven. It talks about having a temporary but active relationship with those around you. A side-by-side relationship with the people around you. So as you travel, even though you understand your identity is you're from another place and you're from another kingdom and you're going back to reality, back to where you belong, that doesn't give you an excuse to not live a side-by-side, close relationship with those around you. Actively saying to them, how about you come with me on this journey? How about we pilgrimage together back? And in that doing and in that traveling, they will find out. If you carry on reading in Hebrews 11, it says, people who think such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country that they had left, they'd have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So it's talking about a city, the city of God that he's prepared, that we are journeying towards. That is good. That is good to know, because it talks about identity. If you know that you're not of this land, then you've got to understand your identity. And in your identity becomes your dignity and your value. Don't you know who I am? I represent the King of Kings. I'm his son. You know? Yeah. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. And as such, you should walk with your head held high, knowing that this isn't it, folks. This is a temporary situation that you found yourself in, and you're walking out of it. Second thing to think about is in Proverbs. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 in the NIV says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The King James says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Because that word there means your face, your countenance. What it means is, as you take steel to steel, if you take a file and you file steel, it brightens the steel. It brings a new face on that axe or on that thing. So as you converse with one another and as you have conversations and as you relate, the result should be that your friend should smile. Their face should brighten. I'm going to use some other big words. You should quicken their ingenuity. Quicken their ingenuity. Enliven their affections. Sharpen their judgments. And excite them to virtue or useful action. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, because I've got bits sticking out of me, it's your job to knock them off. And then in so doing, I'll get a chance to knock your bits off. And my damage hits your damage, and then in the end, well, something happens. That's not what it means. It's good news. It's your friendships should be constructive. They should be enhancing. When you've been with a friend, you should come out with a smile on your face, ready to go, encouraged, going, you know what, I didn't think I could do it, but now I think I can do it. Our motto this year is to help others shine. That's what this is all about. Once you've talked with someone, they should be shining, their face should be shining. When Moses met with God, his face shone. When people meet with us, our faces should shine. The ancient paintings of old with the halos around them, you think, why did they paint those? I don't believe that they were making it up. I believe that they saw in the saints their faces aglow with the glory of God. And as you walk out of here, we should be going out with our faces shining. A friend delights in the face of another. When it talks about our countenance, it means our minds and our spirits. The final thing is it says, and makes him in all respects a better man. You can put it into women as well. So we're going to talk about that, okay? That's why we're round tables. That's why we're colouring in and doing word searches. If you're in seats back there, you can just drag them into our little group, or if you can be brave, you can go and join another table. If you can see a table that's lacking a few people, go out and make up numbers or shuffle up. And we're going to talk about these questions, if we can pop them up. I've made it easy for you this week, okay? What's your story? How did you get here? Not in my car or on my bike, okay? Kind of, how did you get on this journey? How did you end up in Living Waters? How did you end up here today? Some of you are visitors, and you can say, well, you know, I got here like this. Ian's back from America. He could say, you know, I'm completely jet-lagged. I don't know what country I'm in, but hey, great to have you back. Who are you traveling close beside? Who on this journey are you walking side by side intentionally to encourage them, to support them? And that could be a Christian friend, but it could be a non-Christian friend, or it could be someone in your workplace. Who do you know God has got you there so that in this pilgrimage you can walk beside them? Who do you sharpen? Who sharpens you in that context? Who quickens your ingenuity, enlivens your affections? Who sharpens your judgments or excites you to virtue and useful acts? Who makes you in all respects better? And what promises of faith are you holding on to? The scripture in Hebrews 11 basically says, those people who knew that, it says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. How is your journey going? Is it one of consumerism? God didn't do it, so I'm disappointed, so that's the end of it, and I can be grumpy for the rest of my life until he tells me why he was mucking about. Or do you go back to the verses, a few verses back, that says, Sarah, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. How are we encouraging one another to consider God faithful who has made the promise? I know some of you are hanging in there for family members, for job situations, for finances, for health. How are we encouraging one another to faith and good deeds? So those are the questions.